Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home, and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hi, welcome to Fat Mascara, everyone. I'm Jen Sullivan.
I'm Jessica Matlin. What is up?
Hi, friend. Happy sort of fashion week, I guess.
Fashion.
Oh, you have a good guest. This is like well-timed fashion. For fashion weeks. A very fashionable guest.
She is very fashionable. Listen, we've got Katie Jane Hughes in the Fat Mascara Stewed. This was great.
Sans me, by the way. Just the two of you.
I know. Sorry. I had to. Listen, if Katie Jane Hughes can make it, like,
Who cares about me? Be there
or be square, okay? It was great. Listen, we've tried to get Katie Jane on the pod for, like, years now, and it's just kind of the stars have never aligned with times and this and that. But finally, we got her. This was such a great conversation. The one thing I wish we could have done is I wish we could have done, like, makeup together. Because I feel like that would have been the ultimate. That's Fat Mascara 2.0. Oh. Okay, that's Fat Mascara 2.0. Yeah. But I find Katie Jane Hughes as an artist super inspiring because she really has fun with color. She really is. I hate the kind of like term like real girl, but she's kind of like a real girl. And like, I don't feel like she's trying to... Like, she's just kind of like herself, you know what I mean? And she plays with at least when she started, like what she has. She uses everything. She's very like a relatable person, but she's also like, you know, in the fashion world. She gave us, oh, P.S., she's coming out with, hello, just like she casually dropped like some intel on her new line or her new products that are coming out. I got as much as I could for you guys. I got as much as I could possibly squeeze out of her. And she's also just had an amazing journey from nail artist to like editorial slash like Instagram makeup artist, like made good. So
yeah,
I shouldn't say Instagram makeup artist made good. It's more like Instagram makeup artist evolving, breaking the mold. So,
oh, there was we go. An awesome chat. Title for the interview. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just kind of making her own way. And I'm always inspired by people who do things their way. So very cool chat. Jen, I'm sorry you couldn't be there.
It's all right. Let's get into it. I'm listening now. Here it is.
First of all, thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara. I'm so happy
Thanks,
to see
Jess.
You.
I'm so happy to see you. It's been a minute.
I don't remember the last time I saw you in person.
It like, might have been at
it's
Shireen.
Been years.
No, I think it was at Shireen Idris's opening. Oh no, yes. That wasn't you. No, you went. You were there.
What do you mean it wasn't me? I was there.
Oh yeah, you were
I
there.
I was there. I remember being like absolutely like it was so hot. It was like cold out, but I was
hot. Both
of
you were there. I know both of you were there, and I got confused for a second. And there was this very tall man there, and then yeah, and we got to see Shireen's space. That was like just before Christmas or just after. Oh, it might have been March of this year or something like that. But it's like, but that's been the first time in ages.
It was a really long time that I'd seen you because like the pandemic happened, and I feel like it was one of the first times I'd been like reemerging. Like yeah. Really like been going to like yeah. beauty events.
Yeah, I know.
But
same.
I want to go back. I want to go way back. Way, way back. Doing a little research, I understand that way before you got into beauty, you wanted to be a singer.
I did. I wanted to like, you know, I wanted to like sing. I wanted to be a little mini Mariah or a little, you know, something. Don't know what I don't know what the goal was, but that was the dream when I was a kid.
Well, I was going to ask you what was the dream? Like, what did you see yourself like?
I don't really know. My mom.
What drew you to want to be a singer?
My mom. So my mom was a singer. My mom was when she worked, she was a singer. She used to go to like regionally in the northwest of England, she would sing in just different venues, different types of scenarios, different things, different events. And she was like a cabaret singer. She would sing cover songs and, you know, she was a bit of a comedian too. She would tell jokes that were like, you know, really funny and sort of playing on different sort of things, different topics. But she, you know, I grew up in this household. My dad was a builder. My mom was a singer and watching... My mom sort of just be this kind of stage presence for, you know, 7 p.m. on a Thursday, Friday and a Saturday kind of gave me confidence to be that way and myself too. And, you know, it was like my mom was kind of like, we call her a bit of a Southport celebrity because our hometown is Southport. She's a bit of a Southport celebrity. She'll go to the supermarket and she'll go shopping for some groceries and she'll get stopped by 30 people being like, hey, Jill, you're right. Oh, how's and chatting to her and they all know her because of her music. And so because of her job. So, you know, I think from a young age, like music was, I grew up in definitely a musical family, sort of, but more of a working class family, if you like, in the sense of like, we were all very much like, yeah. you know, grafters, get our foot in the door in a certain space and just work your way up in it and through it. Not so much college, you know, people, but like just, you know, life experience people. And so, you know, my mom was a singer and that was a job she fell into when she was 34 because she could sing and my dad was a builder. And for me, you know, when I was little, obviously, like I was definitely influenced by, you know, the sort of movie and music scene that I was like interested in and so on and so forth. But I think because, you know, I had this exposure to music through my mom being a singer, you know, I had access to this equipment and this like really beautiful microphone and like these speakers and this like PA system, a sound system. And it was, you know, so I started to sort of gig a little bit myself when I was, you know, a teenager. And then I moved to London and everything changed.
I like what you were saying before about like, you know, just kind of finding your, getting your foot in the door and figuring it out. Like that kind of what I'm picking up from you is this kind of resourcefulness when you don't have everything kind of handed to you.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we were lucky in the sense that we, you know, we grew up working class, and we grew up sort of with everything, all the basic needs met and stuff, but we didn't necessarily grow up wealthy or rich. And it was very much, you know, for me, I always had this drive to get out of this small town and kind of do something bigger and more sort of exciting, that was exciting for me. And now when I come home, it's exciting because all the like things that I used to take for granted are now exciting because I'm, you know, I live in the city that I now take for granted. I'm like, oh yeah, New York City, cool, all right, I love it. But yeah, okay, going home and the little things that you didn't appreciate when you were little from here, all of a sudden now so cool. But yeah, I mean, definitely I'm raised in one of those, like my mom, I'm sure we're going to talk about this, but when I was 17, I didn't really do well in school. School was not like a strong suit for me. I've never been an academically strong person. I'm a creative person. And so my mom was like, go get a job in a nail salon. You know, after I dropped out of colleges and schools and stuff, she was like, go get a job in a nail salon and learn a trade, whatever it is, just go learn how to do something. So I learned how to do nails. And so, you know, my nail career, I started in nail salons doing acrylic nails on the women locally in my hometown. You know, that was my mom's way of like giving me an opportunity to harness a craft that I could always fall back on. Like I could open a nail salon if I needed to somewhere. I could just be a mobile nail tech or whatever, which eventually became like such a huge stepping stone for my career today.
So, okay. So you started, you graduated, you went to college, you started doing nails, and that was in your hometown. But then when you went to London, what were you doing there?
In London, I was sort of doing nails. Nails was, again, still my stepping stone in London a little bit. Like I kind of, you know, worked in the space of the nail salon space for a little while and then sort of segued into this makeup category because I just loved it. And I think it's another, again, I can like attribute that to my mom. Like my mom was a singer that would be at home wearing like a house dress nightgown until 3 or 4 o'clock until she'd have to turn around and get ready to go to a gig. And she would literally transform from this, you know, woman with hair kind of not, you know, beautifully sort of finished. And she would like literally turn it out in 5 minutes and she'd have the glamorous look, biggest, most huge cocktail earrings with a sequin, you know, gown with shoulder pads in it and bright red lip and big, thick black eyelashes and loads of bronzer. She's a bronzing like addict. And so, you know, watching that when I was a kid from this kind of like, you know, flustered mom of four kids and running a household to then turning around to be this complete different person at nighttime, I think always sort of showed me the power of makeup and the power of how much of a tool it is in many, many ways, but specifically like just how you feel and how you can like turn up and be somebody new that day.
Yeah. Did she know that you were like so dazzled by her, or did you kind of keep that inside?
Yeah, I was dazzled by it in a way that like it was cool to sort of be able to say, like even now, like if I meet somebody in our hometown and I don't know, if I meet somebody that I don't know knows my parents, I can probably say my mom's name and they'd probably know who she is. Like that's kind of a funny, you know, thing because she's been around for a while here and stuff. That kind of thing is something when I was a kid, I totally didn't really care. I think I just used to be like, yeah, cool, my mom's that singer from over there or whatever. And so it's just something you don't really realize, but yeah, it was cool. And I think back to how sort of flexible of a career she had, but also how volatile of a career it is, because obviously nothing's guaranteed when you work for yourself and the insecurities can come with that. But no, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're in London, you're doing nails, and then I know you worked at Space NK.
I did.
Which I just love.
Space NK was like my school, you know, like I said before, like school for me was never like, I didn't graduate from any of my schools. I ended up leaving early from all of them. I don't really know why. I was definitely sort of given, because my mom knew, I got bullied a little bit in schools and like every kid probably does, but I definitely was a bit of a, what's the word? I just was like, no, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else. Like, how can we change this? I'm so miserable. I don't want to do this. And so we did homeschooling from like the ages of 15 to 17. And then I sort of went to college for performing arts, but I didn't really, you know, fit in there either. And so I mean, for me, school, it was always very much like I didn't feel academically encouraged by the teachers, but I didn't really feel like I fit in with the other kids. And so, you know, my mom always kind of like let me sort of be the kid that I wanted to be and was very much, you know, just like she was easy on me in that respect, which I think is good because I think, you know, you don't know what pushing a kid too far in a direction they don't want to go is not good either. So I think, you know, for me, like it was very much like Space NK was my school, that I didn't, that it was like my second chance at school, and that school was makeup school. You know, it gave me the opportunity to really learn how to put makeup on people from all different age groups, all different ethnic backgrounds, in sort of interesting scenarios. Somebody might come in and, you know, I remember one time in Space NK, like all these different actors that lived in Notting Hill, their wives would come because they were going to the premiere with their famous husband, like Mark Strong once, his wife came in and I did her makeup. And then there's this woman now that's on Game of Thrones and I used to do her makeup before she was even famous, this lovely Scottish woman called Michelle, I think her name was. It's just so mad how this place, that Space NK, this retail environment where I would essentially just sell product, became like such an amazing sort of life school and makeup school for me, just to how to deal with people, how to do makeup on people, how to communicate with people.
I didn't know that you were homeschooled for a couple of years.
Yeah, it wasn't really a consistent. It was something we tried to do, and then I sort of just fell under the radar a little bit in the academic sense. I think, but I mean, again, like it's funny when I talk about my school stuff, I used to be a little embarrassed and a little ashamed of not being able to finish any of that stuff, whether it be just myself and my sort of own personal drive of not being able to see it through, or, you know, whether or not I feel like the sort of the academic system sort of failed me, because I felt like a lot of the other kids, you know, if they were gifted naturally, they would get all this encouragement from the teachers. But then the kids that didn't have that natural ability just kind of like fell behind, and then you'd fall behind even more. But now I see it actually as a gift, because who knows what career I would have gone into. I might have gone into something in a totally different category that I actually would have hated just because I graduated school and I had the qualification to do something in a paper pushing kind of job, I guess.
It seems like things kind of worked out for you in the end.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So, okay, so you find yourself, you find your niche, you find your groove, you have this real like second education at Space NK.
Yep.
But, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of hitting certain bullet points in your career for the sake of time, but, you know, please let me know if I'm missing something massive.
No.
You ended up working with a company called Butter London pretty early in your career, and that's when I met you. And you were doing nails.
Yes.
So you really leaned into like your original area of expertise.
Totally.
So how was that for you?
That was great, actually. I mean, it was an interesting opportunity that was actually, strangely, this is such a full circle, crazy story. But I remember I was at Space NK working part-time, assisting makeup artists at the same time. But I was also doing nails in London on jobs. Like, it was very much like I was kind of just doing a few different things until, you know, I kind of was able to be exclusive in one thing. I remember
It was like until whatever hit, like until, like you were kind of trying your options out.
I mean, I knew nails wasn't something that I wanted to do for forever. I knew makeup was where I wanted to go, but nails was paying my bills more because I was so expert. I was an expert in that space. So, you know, Space NK was like my job that I did for the experience and for the cash in my pocket and for the money in my pocket. But nails was something that I could do and get a really big job with a really good rate because I knew what to do. So it was like, you know, they two kind of like played off of one another a little bit. But basically, one day when I was assisting, I assisted Alex Box for a show in London. And there was a girl backstage who I actually used to do nails for in Southport, in my hometown, this girl called Sarah Blackwell.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, oh my God, Katie, what the hell? What are you doing here? Neither of us realized we lived in London. She was doing PR for Illamasqua at the time. And Illamasqua was obviously the brand that Alex Box was affiliated with. And she was like, oh yeah, let's get together, let's get coffee or whatever. And cut to, like, you know, a while later, she then started working at, she was working at Purple PR. She repped Bottle London. She was like, you do nails. Bottle London need a new nail tech because there was, you know, all of a sudden a space sort of in that role for Fashion Week stuff. So I kind of slipped into that almost like a bit of a last minute type of thing. And essentially one thing led to another. And then I became their ambassador for like 4 or 5 years, but it worked and made so much sense because they were actually creating makeup products. And so because I was a nail tech that wanted to get into makeup, they were a nail brand that also wanted to get into makeup. It was that perfect kind of like, we both wanted to go the same thing. We both wanted to go that same route. We both wanted to do that same.
What a match.
Crazy. And match made by somebody that I knew from when I was 16 in my hometown, that's nails I used to do. It's mad. It's so freaky to think about like how everything worked. And then I worked with them for about 4 or 5 years, and it was cool. It taught me some cool places and gave me some cool experiences.
So then when did the Katie Jane Hughes, like, makeup artist 2.0 start to reveal itself? You broke away from Butter London, and was that because you were like, okay, I need to kind of become my own
artist, I want to start working with other brands, or I have something to say. Like what, why did you go out on your own?
It full disclosure, my position was released, and it couldn't have been a sweet, it was like a rough pill to swallow, because I was living in New York and I was on salary for this company. I had this security of health insurance and a salary. And then all of a sudden that role was no more. And even though I kind of was ready for that role to be no more, I was scared to sort of do it on my own, I guess. And there's a comfort level, you know, to having a salary and having that health insurance. And, you know, when I loved the job, I loved the people, but it was sort of coming to a point where, you know, it didn't feel as sort of natural and as organic as it once did, as, you know, sort of other people's roles changed in the brand. And it just started to feel a bit like, well, maybe this isn't my home anymore. And that's totally okay, because everything should have a shelf life in a way, because otherwise you don't grow. And so then when I sort of moved on from there, Instagram happened.
So Instagram became your new, not exactly employer, but your new, that's where Katie Jane Hughes, like 2.0, was born. And
totally.
Why do you think that was really, you know, the game changer for you? Like, why do you think you were so successful on Instagram? Because that's where really a lot of people discovered you. They didn't discover you through your previous employer.
Totally. I think when I moved on and did my own thing, and Instagram was essentially like my space to play and be as creative as I wanted to be, I'd just been let go to sort of fly whichever direction I wanted to fly and talk about whatever products I wanted to talk about and post whatever kind of content I wanted to talk about. Not that I couldn't before. It was just that anything branded, anything around, you know, working with a brand, you're pretty much exclusive to that brand when you're on salary with them. And so, you know, there's a certain level of, and not to say I would never do that again, but because you just never know what's around the corner. But I do believe that we all have many, many products in our makeup bag versus just one brand. So it's, you know, I think having that little bit of sort of creative freedom from being on my own again was like such a, I think it showed on social that I was just so excited about makeup and so excited to play and be creative. And, you know, I think what happened really was I had this like incredible opportunity to create my own editorial lifestyle online in whatever way I wanted it to be. And I did. I just posted close-up eye makeup shots, like makeup looks that I wanted to create in a editorial world, but yet maybe I wasn't sort of necessarily given the opportunity at the time because I wasn't really that well-known in New York at the time. So it was, for me, it was very much, you know, I treated Instagram as my own Vogue magazine that was just about me or my work or Elle magazine or whatever I want to call it, you know, that it was my own editorial. Got to show the world what I wanted to show them.
And what did you feel like any inhibition about showing your, because there's a difference between showing looks and showing yourself. And I think you've kind of done a bit of both. And I think you've leaned in at times more towards yourself and more towards looks. And that's what I think is interesting about you on Instagram.
Do you mean like because I'm a makeup artist and makeup artists typically didn't used to do looks on themselves on social, they would show off more like looks from set? Yeah, I mean, that definitely came up
I think what
many
interesting
times.
Is like you show yourself.
Well, I think what I, you know, obviously back in the time when I was sort of, you know, back on my own again in 2016 or 2015, I can't remember when it was, I didn't really have anybody else to play on with makeup but myself. So I was just like, okay, we're going to do this. Because I hadn't really been here that long. I'd been in New York maybe a year and a half at that point, 2 years. And I'd made friends and stuff. But, it was just my face is there for me to use at my disposal whenever I want it. So I was like, okay, great. And also I'm not like, you know, I like to put makeup on. I like to be creative with makeup. So for me, it was like, well, it was a bit of a no-brainer. And also I'm not a supermodel. I'm not an actress. So for me to be able to relay a look that I would do on one of these people in that space, but on somebody that would that's not in that category, I think gave other people that wear makeup and like to be creative with makeup the sort of approval to do that on themselves too. And I think that that's kind of where it's what helped people almost that, you know, followed me back in the early days, like really try new things and try a blue eyeliner and try a bright orange lipstick because they saw it on somebody that they might have been able to, you know, assimilate to.
Right. It's not like on some
frozen model who's not talking.
Right. It's on a, it's on a person with, you know, overplucked eyebrows and like, you know, want crooked teeth. Like it's not, it was very much, I think, something that people could relate to in a way.
So, yeah, I mean, you definitely broke, you know, certain barriers and conventions, and you came at the beauty industry, not came at it, but like you approached the beauty industry kind of through a little bit of a side door, you know, like you were a nail artist.
Yeah.
You were, you know, who broke into the beauty industry and achieved like a lot of success.
Yeah.
You came at the beauty industry through Instagram, which is a, you know, at that time unconventional, maybe not in 2022. What was the feedback that you got from the industry?
You know, there was definitely times where I kind of met with agencies and they were like, oh, just stick to nails. You'll be trying for another 10 years to make it in New York as a makeup artist. It's so oversaturated. There's not enough nail artists.
Hmm.
And then on the flip side, there would be instances where, you know, sort of I'd lose out on jobs sometimes because maybe they'd be like, oh, we kind of wanted to see more makeup of her doing makeup on other people versus on herself, or at least not really understanding what that meant at the time. You know, they might have just sort of not been able to see it for what it was, which was just a mood board of makeup looks.
And sorry, who's saying this? Katie, who's saying this? Are these like agents or are these like brand founders? Like who's saying this? Or like randos on like Instagram?
No, this was definitely like agents and then almost like kind of stylists often would see my Instagram on set and be like, is that you? Like, is that your, like, do you, is that you? Like, do you show that to like clients or like, do you show photographers that that's your work? And I'd be like, well, no, because of this reaction, because of this energy that you're giving me right now. At the time, I actually had another Instagram account where I would post my work, but a time came where I was just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, I have, you know, and there was almost this weird, you know, crossroads at a certain point in the career where the people that would used to judge what I, they used that, and let me go backwards. Yeah. There came a crossroads in which I noticed a shift in how I was treated by makeup artists that didn't post on themselves versus now are being encouraged to post content using their own faces. And then
what was that shift?
That shift was a literal, like me not really having that much, you know, genuine feedback with a person to then that person in my DM being like, hey, I love your work. Can I ask you some advice about how to shoot content? And I'm always going to give it.
Oh my God.
I'm always going to give it because I'm always very, you know, I've always been just like, of course. Like, this is what I do. Totally. And there was some instances too, which were quite funny that was like, that would happen. And then that person would sort of just go away after a while. And I'm like, okay, so that you just really wanted something from me, but it wasn't ever genuine. But I don't really care. It's just funny that that's how sometimes some people operate.
Wait, Katie, I cut you off because I was so interested in what you were saying. You were like, so there's, you know, some people will be like, oh, is that you? Blah, blah. And then you're like, but then, oh, you said there was a shift. And you're like, and then the reverse. Sorry. Do you remember what you were saying or no?
The sort of the energy shifted from the judgmental tone of, and again, like I should say, the judgmental tone sometimes was coming from people that are very much like, oh, this is industry and you're a makeup artist and like, you know, versus seeing me as an influencer or whatever. Like, it, obviously, it's not so like one, it's much more multifaceted. But essentially, the shift that I mean or the sort of change that happened was like that change in energy that I felt from other creatives in the space wanting to sort of be able to leverage information from me, which I'm always going to give it because I'm happy to. Like there's enough work for all of us to go around. We're all different. We all have a different perspective. But it's just funny how you can be sort of made to feel like a little bit less, a little bit like not qualified by some people, but then all of a sudden they're like screaming your praises because they kind of want to slot into that space with you as well and trying to sort of get in there with you, which I think that's why you always just have to roll with the curve and go with the curve and just sort of, you know, evolve with the way an industry evolves a little bit.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, They have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good, whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence. Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. Love that. I think that's great advice. So let's talk about these looks that we're like, you know, like I keep referencing all the looks, but let's actually talk about the work that you're doing. So do you feel that you have like an aesthetic? Like, is there like a, that's so Katie Jane, or is it like anything goes?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely an anything goes. I used to, and I think One thing we didn't discuss yet and how I think I grew so fast on Instagram back when I did was like very much what I was sharing on Instagram was fresh, dewy, balmy, gorgeous, wet, luminous skin, but with like cool, creative pops of color. Because at the time in 2014, 15, that isn't really what we were seeing that much of. We were seeing much more of that sort of Instaglam kind of look. And I think that that really helped me sort of have a bit of a different perspective and almost, you know, also encourage other makeup artists to try that same thing. Because it's what we'd learned on set. Like if I went to a job and put on a full face of foundation on someone's face, I'd get told to go take it off. I could see too much foundation. And there was definitely a type of person online that would not like that. But again, that's fine. There's no right or wrong. Everybody likes different things for different reasons. But that is definitely sort of, I think, the thing that set me apart back when I started doing Instagram outside of the Butter London thing. And then I think my aesthetic still rings true to that today. I think I probably, you know, I'm a little bit more glam in the complexion now just because I kind of enjoy that for myself personally. But I definitely still think I'm very soft and effortless with the skin, but creative pops of color and cool textures. Like I love to throw like a shimmery eyeshadow on the lip to kind of change that lip texture from being matte to matte with a frost, because it's done a certain kind of way. It can actually look so sexy in 70s or 80s and expensive and elegant versus cheesy and crap, for lack of a better word.
I love that. Who are some of your makeup heroes?
My makeup hero, definitely my mom. My mom is number one, just like the way that she's been so true to her makeup identity for her whole life. Red lip, black lashes, loads of bronzer. Like literally could she, if she was to, the product developer for a mascara, she would develop the best mascara ever made because she's so fussy.
My mom, what mascara does she use?
She used to use Calorie 2000 from L'Oreal back in the day, like that old school one. And now she kind of flits between and they change, but her lashes have not gotten very good in her old age. They've definitely gone a little bit thinner. So now she's even more picky than before. There's a new one actually coming out soon that is under embargo, but I'm getting it for her to try and I want to record it and see what she thinks of it. But I think my mom for sure. I would say people whose makeup I love, like honestly, other creatives I find. I think the people that inspire me so much in the beauty space are definitely other creatives. Like I love Celine, the makeup artist from Amsterdam with the shaved head. I love her so much. I love what she does. I love my friend Andrea Ali. A lot of people in the same space as me I'm very much inspired by, but also my clients, and especially my clients that push me and the clients that, you know, sort of will be like, oh, could we just change this? Or, oh, can we change that? Because I think when you're doing somebody else's face, you just do what you think is what's the right thing because of what you know. But I like that little bit sometimes of pushback because it gives you an opportunity to see it from a different perspective. Like the first time I ever did Rosie Huntington-Whiteley's makeup, she was like, cool, can we do more blush? And at the time, when I go back to the time that I worked with her for the first time ever, I wasn't using blush in any of my makeup looks on myself at all. And I was so pale and like no contrast from blush at all. And then I kind of remember thinking, wow, that actually looks really good. And Rosie fully like made me fall in love with blush because of how she was like, yeah, I want a bit of blush. And then it all changed. And then with Haley a couple months ago, she's like, oh, can we take the complexion down just on the cheeks a little bit? I want my skin to really show through. And I was like, well, yeah, of course, your skin's amazing. Why would I, you know? And it's just natural habit. Sometimes you just do what you know that you're doing. And sometimes it's good to have that, you know, and I'm inspired by that in a weird way because I feel like everything's been done and so much to be inspired by that it's almost a bit overwhelming. I'm more inspired by sort of those things and how people like to wear their makeup as a person versus what's a trend.
What part of your career do you want to develop more?
I definitely want to develop, weirdly, my personal brand in a sense, because I feel like as I grow through my life on Instagram and my world and in social, I get the most enjoyment from sharing like bits of my family and bits of my private life and then like little random things about my health and wellness. Like I have Hashimoto's and when I share about that, people are like, oh my God, you do? How do you eat from Hashimoto's? What do you share? And all the while, makeup is never going to be something that leaves my account or the space that I'm in on social. But I do think like as a person on Instagram that, you know, has a following, I think it's important to, for me, it's important for me to show a very, very real side of that because makeup is a mask in a way. It's not, but it is. It's like this thing that you put on that's like changing the way you look. And I think the flip side of that or the extreme side of that would be showing the most real version of you that you can And for me, like, I talk a lot about fertility stuff and IVF, and I just did a laparoscopy and discovered that I had endometriosis and fibroids, which I didn't even know that I had, which was really cool to learn. You know, and I think that kind of thing for me is stuff that I really enjoy sharing about, because it actually weirdly helps me too. Like, it, anxiety is something I talk about. When I talk about my anxiety, sometimes it's heavy when I talk about it for myself, because then people share their stories with me, which then can, like, I'm an empath, so it can, like, you know, load onto me too. But generally, I think the more that we can just be real with one another online and be genuine with one another online, the better. So I think personal brand, but as well as creating a brand, is something that is coming. And that's definitely in the pipeline.
So we're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to go back to something you said, not to leave people on a cliffhanger, but you're talking about sharing, like, you know, really intimate parts of yourself. Was that hard mm-hmm. for you to warm up to, or no? Because I think, you know,
Not really.
That's not for everyone.
No, totally. And it shouldn't be for everyone. I think, you know, it's one of those things that Instagram is one of those places where I learn so much in so many ways. Like, even from how somebody talks to me in a message and how I reply to them, I learn something about myself in that moment, because somebody will say, hey, how's the IVF journey? And I'm like, ha, I don't mind the are you pregnant question, but I do understand why it could be triggering for someone. And I like to share that with someone. So
yeah.
In ways that, like, you know, I'd never clap back at somebody or be sort of snappy with someone about something that could be triggering, I'll more sort of turn it into a teachable moment and be like, hey, the IVF journey is kind of like, you know, it's on a bit of a standstill right now because we're traveling, but I just want to say, like, obviously maybe be aware that this could be a triggering question, because who knows what stage I'm at, or maybe something just happened that I didn't want to happen. And so I think it's an interesting one. But I think for me, the hardest part of sharing on social is honestly figuring out the way to articulate what it is that I'm trying to say in a small amount of information. And I think that's a reason, that's where my insecurity sort of falls into place from school, because I don't feel like I don't communicate as effectively as I could, but just based on, like, I'm like, wait, what does that word mean? I'm like, wait, is that the right word for that? Oh, is that the, you know, is that word triggering, or is that word the right descriptor of that thing? So for me, like, I don't find, I'm very an open book in the sense, but I am very also, I will tell somebody, like, actually, I'm not really comfortable talking about that right now, but, like, when I'm ready, I'll tell you. And I'll also preface it when I'm sharing it in stories. I'll be like, so I had a transfer, an embryo, it failed, but please nobody tell me that you're sorry, because I'm not sorry. It happened and it's okay. Yeah. Like, the sorry would have made it heavier. So it's almost like if you set it up for yourself how you need people to respond to it, then it's a safer space. But it's a complex.
Do you reply to everyone who writes to you?
I do, most people, yeah. I mean, people that are especially, like, already in past the sort of, you know, approvals thing, the request section, I check my DMs multiple times a day, and it's very much a conversational place. I get messages sometimes, it's really sweet, of people saying, oh my God, I've been following you for like 8 years and you still reply to me. This is so nice. And, like, back when you had 10,000 followers. And I mean, yeah, like, if it wasn't for the community, then there wouldn't be an Instagram. If it wasn't for the community, then I wouldn't have anybody to share stuff with. So it's a huge part of it for me.
Well, you have such a big community and have developed, you know, such a major profile that now you have a line coming out, which you are very excited about. What can you tell us?
I can tell you it's one product, but kind of more than one. It's one product, but it's three SKUs within that product. That's more than I've shared so far. But it's a kit. So it's a kit in the complexion category.
Three SKUs.
It's a kit.
Okay.
One product, three SKUs. Yeah.
It's like
one product, three SKUs.
What's one product, three SKUs?
In the highlighter. I know, it really is.
Okay.
Yeah, so one product, three SKUs within the highlight glow category. And I, you know, the basis of this brand is that I want to be able to educate, deeply educate how to use something. And the question that I get the most is just the most, like, basic thing. It's like, how do I put mascara on? I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, huh? And I know people don't need to just know how to put mascara on. They genuinely just want to be like, okay, well, how do I put mascara on to get, like, the lift? How do I put mascara on to, you know, to wear with a winged eyeliner? How do I put mascara on the bottom lashes without getting it on my skin? How do I put mascara on and it not transfer through the day? There's so many makeup questions that encourage my desire to create a product to serve that need, if that makes
okay,
sense.
Okay, so we're going to get, like, a Katie Jane Hughes tutorial with your line.
Oh, definitely. There'll be a QR code.
Okay. Oh, amazing.
Brands definitely educate, but I think a lot of brands, like, educate in a way that's like, here, slide on this eyeshadow and then just blend it with your ring finger and then you're done. But I think people want more than that. So
am I going to be able to get the Katie Jane Hughes glow?
Sure. I'll get you it early. I'll get you early and, you know.
I don't need it early. I just want to be able to, I need to understand.
What do you mean?
Is this kit going to be able to help me understand how to get the glow?
Oh, I mean, it's not, well, essentially you're not really buying a kit. You're buying the education, and the kit is a byproduct of the education.
Okay. Now you're dropping too many clues and I feel like you're probably not going to say anymore.
No, I mean, the thing is though, I'm also one of those people like, you know, everybody's going to do something slightly different and it's fine. And I'll also hold my hand up and be like, the thing that I'm creating hasn't not been done before. It's just not necessarily been done in this format before and delivered to you in this kind of way before. So
when are we going to be able to get it delivered? What month?
Hopefully June 2023. There's so many supply chain things. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy space.
Until the kit comes out, can you tell us, give us some tips for getting the glow with like what we have?
Exfoliate.
How do we get that dewy glow?
Exfoliate, but don't over-exfoliate. Okay.
How often?
I'd say if you don't exfoliate once or twice a week, if you do exfoliate already, maybe like as you know your own skin best, so however much you feel like you need it. But I think exfoliating with some sort of acid like the Ren toner, the Ren Ready Steady Glow toner, or like the Alpha H liquid gold type stuff, like anything like that, just to slough off that dead skin. And I always pay extra attention to the higher points of the face with whatever acid I'm using, because it's those areas that I feel like, it's those areas that don't actually need as much sort of sloughing away of the product, of the dead skin, but it's those areas that I actually think react very well in a shiny sense to those products. Like if I take a cotton round with a little bit of Ren sort of acid toner on it and just like have a little gentle buff of the cheekbone, that cheekbone literally is glowing. And there's like a light bulb inside of my face. And it's not because I've like ripped the skin off my face. It's because literally it's so squeaky clean that it shines.
Okay. So now you've just hit on the skincare, but what about product?
As far as like a topical, put something on it to make it glow.
Yeah. Like cosmetics.
Yep. I love my favorite highlighters. I really, really love the Rose Ink ones. They're really, really nice. The new ones, they're great. And they come in multiple shades. I don't know. What is my favorite highlighter? What I'm going to say is going to break hearts because nobody's going to be able to get this, but Becca Shimmering Skin Perfector. There was nothing like it. RIP.
eBay.
Oh my God. EBay. Make sure it's real. The close second to Shimmering Skin Perfector, if you are looking for the bottle liquid version, is the Kryolan version. Kryolan basically make a very similar one and it's gorgeous. Okay. What about foundation? I'm a concealer person through and through. I concealer for me is foundation. Foundation's concealer. I consider them very much the same thing. They're just marketed differently, I guess. I am a diehard Glossier Stretch Concealer person through and through. Like, I will never not use that product. I can't explain it, but every time I put that on someone's face on a photo shoot, the photographer is like, whoa, their skin looks amazing. Because it just reflects and it just bounces the light away, but it covers, but it doesn't cover too much and it still looks like skin.
I like it. It's like, very thin, but yeah, it's not a ton of coverage.
It's very, it's dewy, it's juicy, it's thin. It's thick in the sense of that it's a pasty cream, but it shears down and becomes just like a glisteny gloss. The one that would sort of, I would supplement with that would be like a NARS Soft Matte Concealer. However, I hear that the REM Beauty by Ariana Grande new concealer is a literal hybrid of those two in one pot. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, wow. I got to get some more of that Glossier concealer. You haven't used that in years.
It's so good. Right? Just got to put it on with a brush everywhere. It's not an under eye concealer. That's the thing, a misconception on that product. It's not an under eye concealer and you're not going to get coverage from it. Take it with a fluffy brush, like my number 8 from the green kit, and then just like whip it everywhere, just thinly, and then just shear it down in areas where you don't want as much.
You would put it under the eyes or you wouldn't? You're like, it's not an under eye concealer?
You can put it under the eyes, but if someone's naturally a little bit more dewy in their skin and get a little bit oily through the day, that concealer is going to get move even more because of the natural skin, or if it's over a face cream. Like if I use it under my eyes, I use the tiniest amount, like what's left in the brush from doing my cheeks, for example, or my chin, and then I might put something matte over the top, but I will always set it under my eyes. But
it doesn't really give you a lot of power.
No, but that's what I love about it though, because it's skin, it's like a tinted moisturizer. If they ever asked me for advice on remarketing that product completely, I would say you need to remarket it and call it a tinted moisturizer in a pot, because that's what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't, but then you need something. Yeah, I think that's why I wasn't completely in love with it for underneath the eyes, because it's like, it doesn't really do anything. Right. You need something like more like, I don't know how you feel about this product, but like Laura Mercier
underneath the eyes, like something with like a little more spackle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like a secret camouflage.
I mean, I love that product. It's great. The colors are great for like color correcting and so on and so forth. But for me, just like I love a tiny bit of full coverage concealer under my eye, just over a touch of moisturizer.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes easy just to go for something full coverage and use less of it then.
Agree. Let's go, maybe just a couple more products because I know people are going to want to know.
What category?
Maybe a favorite colorful eyeliner right now. Let's do colorful eyeliner and mascara.
My favorite mascara, I really, really, really love Ami Colette. My friend Jada that used to work at Glossier, her mascara is unbelievable. It's in a bright orange tube. You can't miss it. It's so good. That's my favorite mascara. Just gives you like what you need quickly, easy to remove because I also hate mascaras that are so good that they're hard to get off. Favorite eyeliner. I love just a good pencil. Like those new Glossier number one pencils are great. Just if you want a little pop of color.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
And let's do lips.
I would say.
What are you loving right now?
For me, right now, I'm loving the new Dior one. The new Dior ones are amazing. They're like 16 hour wear. They're unbelievable. It's the most matte format that you can get in a bullet that I've found. It's called Dior Rouge Forever Rouge. But I honestly love the, what am I carrying with me this time? I really love pencils for the lips. Have you heard of Era Perez? Era Perez. They sell them at Detox Market and they have these pencils, these like chubby crayons, and they are so nice. Cause then, you know, most chubby crayons are quite matte and dry. These are like a creamy lipstick and a chubby crayon that you sharpen. They're amazing. So Era Perez.
A creamy pencil feels like an oxymoron. Era Perez.
Totally.
Okay. I'm into it.
A creamy pencil. And they're a big pencil. You get a lot.
We're going to finish with a quick like lightning round, all right? Just the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Favorite album. I'm going to throw it back to an album so you can remember those.
Probably Before My Time, but like Bohemian Rhapsody. If that was an album versus a single. Anything Queen. All day.
Anything Queen. Okay, we'll do that. I'm staying with music because I love that you wanted to be a singer. And I love this whole thing
with
your mom. Your mom must be so proud of you.
Oh my God, she's the biggest product junkie. And she literally, if she sees that I've got product in the house when I'm home, she's like, what's that? Is that for me? What's in there for me? What can I have?
I'm
like,
yeah, do you bring products home to her?
Oh yeah, but she hoards it all and she never uses it. She just uses what she likes, but she keeps it all either way because she's just like, I'll have it, I'll take it, I'll give it to my friends. She's naughty.
Okay, song you'd love to sing in front of a crowd.
Wow, there's too many, but I would say Songbird by Eva Cassidy.
Face You're Dying to Paint.
We follow each other, so I'm sure it's going to happen sometime soon. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Jennifer Aniston.
Okay. I love that. Put it out there.
She just seems so cool.
She seems really cool. Best career advice you ever got?
Best career advice I ever got was just be yourself and everything that is supposed to come your way will.
And I have to ask this because you have the best accessories. Where do you get them?
Oh my God. Real. I'm like a real fiend. Can't stay away from the place. It's terrible. But like, I just live for a big statement belt, like the Loewe Obi belt. It's just like, goes with anything. Love it. Dresses up an outfit in seconds.
Thank you so much, Katie. This was great to talk to you.
See you too.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.